الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الواحد الأحد والفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وخاتم أنبيائه وخيرة خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم عليه اللهم صل عليه صلاة دائمة إلى يوم الدين وصل على آله وصحابته والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم أما بعد عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله فإن رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول التقوى وصية الله للأولين والآخرين وقال أيضا التقوى جماع كل خير ويقول سبحانه وتعالى واتقوني يا أولي الألباب لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِهُونَ Brothers and sisters, first of all, I praise Almighty Allah. I praise the Lord and return to Him in repentance. I ask His forgiveness on behalf of myself and everyone gathered here and on behalf of all Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to come closer to Him by celebrating His remembrance, glorifying Him during the hours of the day and night. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to thank Him for His blessings and praise Him and exalt His honor and raise His word. I bear witness there is none worthy of worship but Allah, the Creator, Sustainer and Cherisher of the worlds. I bear witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger. He is above all the messenger of mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We have sent thee but as a mercy for the entire creation. The Arabs say, لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ There is a discourse or talk appropriate for every occasion. And the messenger of mercy said, خَاطِبُ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ أُقُولِهِمْ Talk to people according to their level of understanding or wavelength. And today, the last week, they celebrated the International Women's Day. It behoves us as Muslims to understand the Islamic view of woman, the status that Allah has given them in the Islamic view of Tawheed, the paradigm, the Islamic worldview, which is Tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and uniting everything. Everything comes from Allah, everything goes back to Him. So we have this unifying vision of Tawheed, and there is a place for everything. There is a place for man, the place for woman. There is a place for the young, and there is a place for the old. There is a place for the individual, and there is a place for the community. There is a place for the nation, and there is a place for the universal humanity. So Islam is all about unifying. فَاتِقُ الَّذِي حَقٍ حَقَهُ Give each one the due that is assigned to him by the Creator. I remind myself of a beautiful saying of Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu wa arlah. He said, Wallahi in kunna fil jahiliya ma na'uddu lil nisa'i amra hatta anzal Allahu feehinna ma anzal wa qasama lahunna ma qasam. Believers, pay heed. Understand the revolution, the transformation that Islam brought about in the life of humanity. How it ushered a new chapter, a new beginning, a new transformation of human consciousness. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, Wallahi, by Allah, in kunna ma na'uddu lil nisa'i amra, we never attached any value for women in jahiliyyah. Hatta anzal Allah fihinna ma anzal, until Allah revealed what He revealed in regards to their rights. Wa qasama lahunna ma qasam, until He apportioned for them their right, as He did in the Quran. It is Umar ibn Khattab. I bring back his saying again. He said, إِنَّمَا تَنْقُضُ عُرَى الْإِسْلَامِ عُرْوَةً عُرْوَةً إِذَا نَشَأَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ The cement, the glue holding Islam together, Muslim community together, this bond will be broken one by one. When people grow up in Islam and they don't know the jahiliyyah, they don't know the blessing of this religion, the dignity that religion bestowed on man and woman, the justice and the fairness and the compassion, that is the heart of Islam. Islam will be broken by those who don't know the jahiliyyah, who don't make that distinction between culture and Islam. I come from India, brothers, and I know what is done to women. It is not different what was the jahiliyyah custom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ صدق الله وصدق رسول الله. If one of them is given the glad tidings of the birth of a girl, his face darkens and he is filled with suppressed anger within. Because of the evil of that glad tiding that he has been given. And within himself, the self-talk is, أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَاهُونَ, should he hold on to this girl while he has all but contempt for her? أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ, or should he bury her in the dust? يَتَوَارَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ, when this news is brought to him, he hides himself. He does not come out in public because he is ashamed of this news, that a girl is born, birth of a girl. So within himself, the self-talk, Allah says, going on, should he hold on to this child while he has all but contempt for her, or should he bury her alive in the dust? And Allah said, Ala sa'a ma yahkumun, woe, indeed, whatever decision he makes is indeed evil in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you accept that child and let her grow while feeling contempt for her, that's equally evil. Even more evil is burying her alive. Both of them in the sight of Allah, Ala sa'a ma yahkumun, the decision, whatever decision he is making, because he has given only one between two choices, holding on to her with, while feeling contempt for her, or burying her alive. In India, abortion is almost widespread, rampant in Indian society, abortion of female fetuses. And this has crept into the Muslim community also, right here also. I was called, a young physician who is an expert in abortion, a young man, I knew his dad very well. He called me. He said he is specializing in this, that he can know when there is a female fetus, and he has a lot of applications, lot of people coming forward. And of course, he was fair enough to be offended, feeling that guilt consciousness, although he was rationalizing it within. But he wanted to see whether his decision, because lot of money to be made. And all of this thing done. Of course, you know, taking the cover of the law. And I told him, please change your field. Please, for the sake of Allah, if you want to save yourself from hellfire, you need to change your field specialization. You can do better. Serve the community. If you are an expert in medicine, you can specialize in another area. I hope he took my message. Now the question you and I must ask. I already mentioned Tawheed. Tawheed in Islam is a paradigm. Tawheed in Islam organizes everything. Nothing in this universe is out of place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man and woman. And Allah, throughout the Quran, blasted this pre-Islamic concept. Right throughout the Quran, this idea of man being superior, born of a different essence, and woman being inferior, this is blasted in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed it throughout. خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. God created male and female from a single essence. مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another place said, بَعْلُكُم مِّن بَعْلٍ. You proceed from one another. Meaning, the same humanity, the same essentially of the same essence. There is no distinction. Whereas when Islam came, and that's why we need to understand the place of Islam as Umar ibn Khattab understood it. Jahiliyyah society attached no value to women, so female infanticide was practiced. And there were individuals who were known as Hunafa who struggled against this evil practices, and they tried to bring up these girls. And Islam came, first of all, established this idea of male being of a superior race or essence. And there is an evil attached with woman, so much so that even the so-called liberator in India, the Buddha, he fought against caste system. He fought against idolatry. But yet, he could not accept woman into his community. Initially, he refused. Because for him, woman, in order to be saved, she has to be reborn as a man. Astaghfirullah. And in the Christian, in the Bible, they have this myth, the story of the creation of Adam alayhi salam. This is a false doctrine from which so many evil consequences in the Judaic Christian tradition, that Eve alayhi salam was the source of that temptation. She tempted Adam alayhi salam to eat of the forbidden fruit. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewrites this story in the Quran. Of course, bring it back to the original, to the truth. What was it? Both Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, from that tree. They were barred to eat from it. Both of them did. And both of them sinned, and both of them were forgiven. But in the Christian tradition, of course, they are rewriting it now. Because of that evil attached, associated with woman, she is cursed. And the rabbis have counted 9 curses. And until recently, one of the prayers in the Jewish tradition was, Thank God I am not a woman. Astaghfirullah. Of course, I am not attacking any religious tradition, but this is what human beings, when they interfere and tamper with the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of God Almighty, this is what happens. They use the scripture as a tool of oppression. And of course, we should not be rejoicing because we do the same thing. The Muslim community discriminates against women because we got this from the Hindu tradition. There are people who still believe that, you know, women should worship at the feet of men. This is coming from laws of Manu. They are burning the laws of Manu in India now, students, because of the many, many references against target humiliating women. Because she is a curse, she has to, you know, and the medieval Christianity used to teach, it is coming from the Hindu tradition, that for a man to be spiritually attained, he need to keep away from associating himself with women. He cannot marry. So the monks and the priests, they used to shun marriage, keep away from the association with women, because women is evil. She will tempt. She is a fitna, source of fitna. Of course, the same we have passed on this one as traditions also. Fortunately, the scholars of hadith have rejected these traditions as fabricated or dubious. But many of our scholars even preach it on the minbar that you are allowed to ask, consult women, but make sure to go against your opinion. But what did the Prophet do? Prophet made shura, consulted his own wife Umm Salama, and acted according to her advice. In a major decisive moment, issue affecting the Muslim community, Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Who suggested that proposal? It was Umm Salama, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Islam exalted the status of women, first of all, at making them equal to men in all matters, spiritual matters, and of course assigning them different roles. And women is exalted and honored as a mother. First of all, Ummuka. When the man asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who should I treat the kindest way? Who? Your mother. Who is next? Your mother. Who is next? Your mother. Summa man. Who is after that? He said, your father. So three times, and the Prophet is reported to have said, Al-Jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat. Paradise lies at the feet of mothers. And of course, the greatest of sin in Islam is murder after shirk. When somebody came to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, I have done this impulsively, I killed a woman because I was infatuated with her, I wanted to marry her, but she refused to marry me, and in a fit of anger I killed her. And now I feel deep remorse. How can I repent and expiate for this grave sin I have committed? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu asked, he pondered a while and asked, do you have a mother? Your mother is alive. He said, no. If your mother is alive, you should go and serve her. He said, no, my mother is dead. He said, your maternal sister is alive? He said, yes. So go and serve her, because al-khala bimanzilatil umm. Maternal aunt is like a mother in the absence of the mother. You see how Islam, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the inspired interpreter of the Quran, took the message that how, what we owe our mothers. And of course, if it is our wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Deal with them as the best gentleman deal. Fairness is highest standard of decency and kindness. This is what Imam Qurtubi says. Fairness, ma'ruf in Islam means highest standard of decency. Ma'ruf. And you see how sensitive Islam is. When you are married and keep your wife in marriage, bil ma'ruf. And if you are releasing her from the bond of marriage, you should rise even to a higher standard of decency. Bi ihsan. Ihsan is even higher. Give her a right and more. But what we do when we divorce? I know my son is a lawyer. He tells me that when they fight, they get married and they are in a romantic relationship, but then marriage breaks down and they fight, and every single penny they have, they give it to the court, to the lawyer. Because they are so vindictive and they have broken the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah said to do it with the ihsan. You see how we, and how do we treat our wife? We have to treat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you want to be certified as a man of character? In Medina University, when you graduate, you are given two certificates. One is your academic certificate, another is Shahadatu Husn Sirati wa Suluk. Of course, it was also the case in Alim programs in India as well. We used to get two certificates. It's not enough for you to excel in your academic studies. You need to be a person of good character, excellent character. So, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. A man's character is judged, measured, to be decided by the way he treats his wife. Astaghfirullah, I still remember a man that I knew in one masjid. He would be the kindest person when he appears in the masjid. Do you want a ride? Do you want a ride? Do you want a ride? But I heard, I was saddened when I heard that his wife had to walk after the surgery from the hospital to the home. This is not character. The person who should know how you are should be your wife. What kind of a character I will get my wife? That's my legacy, brothers and sisters. How would my wife remember me? How would my daughter remember me? How would my sister remember me? How would my mother remember me? That's the character in Islam. خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. It is not how much prayer you make. The Prophet of Allah said, because everybody can go up and down, prostration, nothing. That's why Umar ibn Khattab, when somebody came to as a witness in a court, Quays, he said, do you know this man? The man said, yes. How do you know him? Perhaps you saw him in the masjid, going up and down, making ruku and sujood. Are you his neighbor? So that you know the in and out of this man? The man said, no. Did you have financial transaction with him? You know financial transaction? People outsmart each other. They cheat their partners and they use the loophole of the law for that. I hear it again and again, brothers and sisters. Reported to me from the court clerks and others, na'udhu billah. And they are the ones punctual in their prayers. After doing so, they want to cheat their partners, na'udhu billah. And Umar, the man said, no, I did not. I didn't have any partnership, business partnership with him. Because when you make that business partnership, you know what kind of a character you are. Did you travel, make a long travel with him? What happens when we go for Hajj as a group? People come back fighting. They were best of friends, they come back stopping to talk to each other. So you see, the character is what is important. And the character, the real judgment of the character is how you treat your wife, your family, you see, and then your daughter, how do you treat her? Islam shows favoritism for girls over males, actually. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a number of traditions of the Prophet of Mercy, he said, if Allah has given you a daughter, one or more, and train them well, educated them. I get a question, my husband doesn't want me to study, to attend lecture, and increase my knowledge. I said, your husband has no right to stop you from seeking knowledge, because that's a religious duty, that is the first duty imposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran before the duty to pray. Iqra, read. Allah didn't say it's only for males. And of course, our scholars taught us the thing that distinguishes human being from animals is knowledge. And that's not limited to males. It's for females as well. So husband has no right to stop his wife from educating herself. So of course, the whole concept that when you have a daughter, if you train her well and treat her kindly, the Prophet said, I guarantee Jannah. In another report, that will be a shield for him against hellfire. Number of traditions from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never said a boy. He said a girl. This is because, you know, many people think that in the Aqiqah, Islam says the boy two and girl one. You know, this is a reverse psychology. Because Arabs already used to treat girls as a burden. So, you see how Allah is compassionate, favoring. The girl only one, you need only do one. It's not because Allah is favoring male, because she's already in that society, she's looked as a burden. So Allah relaxed. And how many things are relaxed for women in Islam? Believe me, this is a topic that need to be discussed in detail. Surely the law of Allah is all compassion. It's taking the side of the weak and the vulnerable. And this religion came as a mercy for men and women. Surely we need to get back to the Islamic understanding so that we don't need this so-called women's emancipation, which is objectifying women, using women and exposing them, stripping them, and using them as an object to sell the products. Na'udhu billah. Islam gave that dignity for women, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to maintain it. She is free to participate. Actually, the bay'ah was given by men and women, and yet Muslims debate that whether men, women can vote or not. Women used to ride horses in the time of Rasulullah, and still there are countries in the Muslim world, women are not allowed to drive. Somebody asked me this question on Islam Online. In our country, women cannot drive. What is the Islamic rule basis for this ruling? I said, what? Women in the time Rasulullah used to ride horses. And some of those horses, from one cliff of the mountain, they used to jump to the other. It is like somebody driving, I don't know what the sports car is. So she was doing that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are cultural practices. We need to liberate ourselves from this and get back to the original Islamic concept. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى دين الإسلام وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Two of our pioneers have passed away. One of them is I consider him, I didn't learn from him, but he was a friend and colleague. He's Dr. Taha Jaber Lalwani, a pioneer and a great scholar. He's one of the luminaries and pioneers of Islamic thinking. He wanted to get back this kind of reformative ideas based on a rereading of the, because the challenges facing Muslims too great, and we need solutions from these sources, and he was doing that. He wrote a number of works, which is a source for all students and scholars of Islamic knowledge. Another scholar is from Sudan. His name is Dr. Hassan Turabi. He came here a number of times, and Dr. Alwani also came in Toronto, and he was one of the pioneers of the Islamic Triple IT, International Institute of Islamic Thought. So let us pray for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them. Allahumma aghfir lahum warhamhum. Allahumma afihim wa'afu anhum. Allahumma akrim nuzulahum. Allahumma wassi madkhalahum. Allahumma aghsilhum bil ma'i wal thalj wal barad. Allahumma adkhilhumul jannah. Allahumma adkhilhumul jannah. Allahumma adkhilhumul jannah. Allahumma qihim fitnatal qabri wa adhabal nar. Let us also pray for those who are sick and suffering. Allahumma ya Rahman, ya Rahim, يا حي يا قيوم اللهم إنا نسألك بأسمائك الحسنى اللهم اشفهم وعافهم اللهم اشفهم شفاء تاما لا يغادر سقما ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا حاجة ترضيك إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم حسن أخلاقنا اللهم حسن أخلاقنا اللهم اهدنا لأحسن الأخلاق فإنه لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت واصرف عنا سيئ الأخلاق فإنه لا يصرف عنا سيئها إلا أنت اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم أحينا مسلمين وتوفنا مؤمنين وألحقنا بالصالحين أقم السلام